after the show.
I'm missing a code red.
Phenomena. Phenomena. Phenomena.
Pop culture district of Mulberry. Just letting everyone know why there will not be a show this week. Just those kind of things happen sometime. One guy's doing one thing, one guy's doing another. Steven's meeting with the Albanian president. I'm accepting awards, accolades, that kind of thing. Things like that. So this week I've asked Foggy back at the mothership to put together a little, how do you say, after the show, to entertain everyone this week. Basically, if you don't know, and after the show is essentially a bunch of bits, bits we don't use in the show, before, after, during the show, things like that, little tangents, little ditties, just to tide you over till next week when we get out episode 77. Now, we have been sitting on a bit of audio from about 2 weeks ago when it was time for Grindhouse. And here where we live in Mulberry, we were having tornado alerts and harsh weather, so we had to stay in the bunker, as it were. We weren't able to go see Grindhouse, so what did I do? I called up my buddy Andy from the Hollywood Saloon, and I called up my buddy Mulberry Bill back at his underground secret lair, and we just chatted about nothing for an hour. So we thought we'd throw that in there for you, too, and just kind of, you know, fill your day with nonsensical blabbing. Yeah, nonsensical blabbing. Us just our opinionated thoughts on everything from the midget and Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome to stuff like that. So without further ado, let's get this puppy rolling on the Nowhere Mulberry After the Show, Episode 9. I hope you enjoy it. Hopefully Foggy does a good job because I'm not there to hit him over the head like I do, much like Benny Hill on The Bald Guy. Yes. Yeah. Okay, Foggy, cue the yakety sax. Laters.
Thank you.
listened on my podcast, but that's only because I want to give Jason feedback on how well it went and the editing and all that.
I've listened to all the Smodcasts, and there was one he did where he was talking about making a pilot for the CW and what a pain in the ass it was. And stuff like that I like. And another one, he was talking about his dog, male dog, who he's never got fixed, has never shown signs of humping or anything, but they got this little dachshund for his daughter, and his dog would not stop trying to fuck this dog, and that was really funny. But sometimes he talks about stuff that's so personal, I sometimes wonder what's wrong with him.
Right.
Yeah, it's like he can't help himself.
Well, he was talking about, like, his wife was going out for some chicks on the town thing, and he was like, hey, you want to fuck? I'm really horny. And she was like, no, I don't have time. I'm getting ready. And he was like, well, since you're naked, do you mind if I just sit here and jerk off while you're getting ready? She's like, sure, that's fine. So he's talking about, like, she was putting her makeup on, totally disinterested, and he's sitting there jerking off like a fucking degenerate. And I'm like, why would you tell anyone the story?
That is the last thing that I even want to have in my mind.
I know! Why are you telling anyone the story?
I mean,
podcasting's for.
She's got those horrible implants.
What I think it was.
Now her face is just disastrous looking.
I don't think she has implants, because she's pretty
flat. Oh, yeah, she does.
You can't be that bony and have tits.
Yeah,
exactly.
My wife's told me that 5,000 times. You know.
Yeah, those are implants.
One thing you learn when you're sitting with your wife, she's always willing to tell you those are fake. You know, why would that even turn you on?
It doesn't turn. I hate fake boobs. Those,
you know.
Ugh.
But it's like if it accentuates the gear, it's like, and I don't think about it, it's fine.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
But if you think about it, you know,
the ones that look like there's a bag underneath the skin and that's it are really bad.
Well, what they do is they insert the sack up through under the muscle and then enlarge it while it's in place.
There's also
the way that they have the
procedure where they go under the muscle also. Right?
Yeah, but some people they have to. But the procedure where they actually cut the around the areola that severs the nerve endings.
You have muscular breastises.
Anytime you see muscle, I have to say, you have to talk like Arnold.
And, you know, I can't say in real life, I can't tell as much, you know, like fake breasts or whatever. Unless the woman just looks fake, you pretty much know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, the deal is, to me, the whole cat is out of the bag when they get some kind of facial surgery.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you can't tell, you can instantly tell. You know,
well, here's what I wonder. Like, when you say that Kevin Smith has a boob job, I wonder why, because I don't even want to look, you know?
Kevin Smith has a boob job?
No, I'm talking about his wife.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard not to tell whenever she's posing in Playboy and flashing him with the sheer bra on. And,
I'm going to say she's not. I'm still.
She does.
I'm going to wait.
100% she does.
I want to see somewhere in writing, because she doesn't look like it's endowed enough to bother, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. To me,
I mean, why would you get implants but not want to be endowed? You know what I mean? Like, you could tell all the chicks on WWE Raw or something, they're all completely fake tits, you know? And it's just like, do you remember that episode of Jamie Presley? She was in a bra on Earl. It's just like, wow, those don't even look real. You know, it just looks like...
And she used to have really nice natural boobs. Like, when she was in that...
Poison Ivy.
Yeah, the Poison Ivy movie. That's a classic.
God, I went and saw that in the theater.
Drew Barrymore and Tom Skerritt in the rain. That was sexy.
Nice. And the little bitch from Roseanne. Good casting.
Nasty.
Chill, lad.
And then there was the second one with Alyssa Milano.
That one was good. That.
And then the third one had Jamie Presley.
Now, the best one was the one not
I was
Poison Ivy, but in that same camp was, you remember Embrace of the Vampire?
That was the Alyssa Milano one.
Where she just decided, I'm going to show my breasts throughout this entire film.
I want to show my large fake breasts all over the place.
And make
I'm going to say again, those weren't fake in that.
Those are fake.
They aren't. See, that's why I can't talk to
fake boobs.
Bill ruins everything for me because he always tells me who has fake tits all the time. Just like, hey, if I don't notice...
Well, it's one of those... It's just one of those, useless knowledge things I
have.
But
there... See, But I swear you say it at times where I think they don't have fake boobs.
Well, tell me who you don't think has them, and I'll prove it to you that they do.
In that movie, Alyssa Milano did not have fake boobs. They look natural.
Okay, I can get you proof of that.
In that film,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if she has now, but I mean back then. Wouldn't you say hers look pretty natural, though, in that?
Not really, because when she's laying on her back, they're standing straight up.
I don't remember that. See, I think you're looking at it way too hard.
No, I'm not, dude. I'm not. Trust me, I'm not. I can prove it to you.
How can you prove it?
Well, there's clips of it online. Where, like, she's arching her back and they're standing straight up. That don't happen.
Well, she was pretty young when she made that.
Oh, here's that lesbian scene she did.
It happens when you're young, I think.
Interesting.
That's great stuff.
It is, but it's ruined now because she has fake breasts.
It's not ruined for me. She's still hot.
The fake thing doesn't bother me. It just bothers my wife.
I just hate them whenever they're, like, so big it's ridiculous.
Oh, there's.
I don't mind if a girl's doing it to, like, enhance or, lift. But when it's just, like, cut a basketball in half and slap them on your chest, that's...
Like, yeah, because sometimes
that's
they look
disgusting.
Really big. Would you say, does Catalina on Earl have fake ones?
Yes.
Because I'm going to say she has like a push-up bra whenever
she does wear it. She does wear push-up bras, but she was on Jimmy Kimmel without a bra, and they are most certainly
fake. You can
see
that bony chest right underneath the titties.
Where it looks like a sack is underneath there.
You're like,
yep.
Oh, man. I just want the whole bony chick thing to go out of style. It's just,
yes, please.
It's
so you know what really disappointing for me? I used to be infatuated with that... that girl from Trading Spaces, that Genevieve Gorder, and now she's all bony, and it's so disappointing.
Well, look at what Carrie Underwood did.
Yeah.
Did you see her?
Yeah.
God, damn, she got sick looking real quick, and she was, like, gorgeous.
We were just talking about Jennifer Connelly, how hot she was in Career Opportunities.
Yeah, now she's all...
Now she's a fucking skeleton.
Man, when she had that meat on her in the Hot Spot and then Career Opportunities...
Holy Lord, yeah.
I mean, yes, she needed an eyebrow plucking and Career Opportunities, but hey.
She was
cute she was at the pinnacle, man. She was like
she was
one of the
super
top
hot
chicks of all time in that movie. Except for, like you said, the eyebrow.
It's bad when there's a storm on the news and they have red, which is really bad, but they also have purple.
Yeah.
Which is like, purple means...
Super bad.
Purple's
kiss your ass goodbye.
Yeah. That's what they have in Dallas. They have all these purple, and they go, the black marks are extremely bad areas. Please stay indoors and find shelter. It's like, the radar says black, I think. Does that mean a nuclear warhead went off? Or
yes.
We were one time in fairly recently, I was at my folks' house, started hearing some wind like I've never heard before. Just like this, Jor-El. It was like it was...
Singing. Jor-El?
Yeah.
It is forbidden.
We got in the closet, man, and we heard some kind of crazy shit go, oh, you know, because you always, you know, I always used to love it because especially in Houston, when the hurricanes come, that's always like pretty much fun. Cause you think,
that's
we'll
a lot of fun.
Well, no, we'll get a day out of school because it just rains hard to make a big shit about it, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like when that last one threatened to come over here. You know, the one
Katrina.
When Katrina was coming this way, or named something else, and
and it cut north and dissipated,
yeah, and it didn't hit us, and because in Houston, and that's when all those cars were lined up, that was so set off by media, and panic, and most of the time we're like, yes, this is going to be fun, we're just going to relax. I enjoy when it rains, but
when what was it 2 weeks ago?
Makes it worse.
We're sitting here watching TV. It interrupts The Unit. We're watching The Unit, which is like the worst episode I've ever seen of that show. It involved voodoo. Whenever you bring voodoo into a show, it's time to fucking cancel it. But all of a sudden, they're like, there's a tornado, and that's exactly where we fucking live.
Whoa.
And Heather's like, oh my God, what do we do? What do we do? And I was like, nothing. What do you mean, what do? We just sit here. Either it hits us or it doesn't. I mean,
yeah, you can't go in the basement.
Put your armor on. You know, there's nothing you can do. There's no force field we can get into. We're just fucked. If it hits us and we're not, if it passes us, then we're good. So it's just
I love the mythology of stand under a door jam. You know, it's like, what?
Yeah, go get it. You get into a bathtub and then put a mattress on top of it. But here's the problem with that. You know how fucking stupid you feel if the tornado doesn't hit you? I've been laying here for hours.
I used to like go right into the bathroom when that stuff would happen. I'm like, oh no.
That's the closest I've ever seen a tornado warning to where I lived, and I still was like, I'm going to sit here and watch some TV. But unfortunately, they interrupted the voodoo episode of the unit, so we didn't get to finish it.
That's too bad.
Whenever a witch doctor gives a member of the Delta Force something to drink, don't drink it, all right?
Oh, speaking of Delta Force, have you seen that horrible trailer for Delta Farce?
Farce, yeah. I see.
Oh, my God. How does this shit get made and not like...
What's the matter, Courtney?
Four shots today.
Oh, man, I always hated that. Yeah. Now, can I ask you, Andy, when it's shot time, do you go? Because after the first time Emma got her shots, I was such a spaz about it. Heather forbid me from going whenever she has shots. Because, I mean, it's like too much empathy. You can't stand to watch her get shots in the leg, in the thigh or whatever.
Well, this is the first time. She got like, I was there the other three. She had to get a special shot because she was a premium.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I didn't go. Yeah, oh, God, holding her down. It's like. The first time, you know, she's smiling, they don't get it, and hit them with that, and they're like, what?
Yeah.
That second and third one, then they're ready for it. And then, you know, that's already miserable and pain, and they're like, they want to do it.
Yeah. I remember getting her, they had to take blood from her foot when she was a little baby. And they were like, we seem to have misplaced the blood. Could you come back? And we had to do it again. I wanted to fucking punch somebody.
I know.
I was like, are you shitting me? You lost the blood? One thing that I'm thankful for is Emma's really good at the doctor. She's really cool, even when she gets shots, because you'll see other kids there. You almost think they're dipping them in boiling water, the way you hear them. Like,
I know, I think they make so much out of it. It's like,
are you skinning that kid alive?
Yeah, I remember in school, whenever I had to go to the doctor, I was like, yay, I'm getting out of school early.
Yeah, but if only we would have known now when you go to the doctor and how little the doctor actually sees you, it'd be like, fine, I call in your bluff, take me to the fucking doctor. He'll come in, take my blood pressure, ask me what's wrong, and then that's it.
Oh, and then you gotta wait. See, that's the deal with this, is you wait for an hour in the freaking waiting room.
Yeah.
And then you go in there and they spend, you know.
Child doctors are the worst, because you go there and there's other parents with a bunch of their kids. And it's always fucking hot as hell in the waiting room. I'm like sweating in there. And now Emma's at an age where you can't keep her sitting still. She runs around and stuff.
Right.
So then
you go to a special pediatrician then?
Yeah. So then you go to the waiting room, and of course you sit in there forever, where it's even hotter because it's like a box.
Right.
And then,
living in a box.
Then the doctor comes in and talks to you. But I've been there in the waiting room and seen other kids, like, throw up on the floor. And I'm like, oh, jeez.
Nice.
Like, because I'm like, why am I sitting in this room with a bunch of fucking sick kids with my daughter? Because they have this well room, and it's, like, a foot away. It's like, what is the difference? If there's airborne germs, they're not going to go in this room because it's called the well room?
It's like the John Travolta door on The Boy in the Bubble. Remember the one he could just walk out of if he wanted to?
Yeah. Come on. That was a good flick.
No. There's like that whiff of air over the hole made it to where no germs got in.
Yeah.
Do you remember that old movie?
Yeah.
Sadly, I remember the entire movie.
The boy.
Remember, I love the part whenever he goes out in his spacesuit and he forgets that the battery's running low on his oxygen, and he passes out on the football field, and they've got to run him back to the bubble.
The boy in the plastic bubble.
I wonder if that condition even really exists anymore.
Was he like 27 when he made that? Because he's supposed to be in school, right?
Yeah.
He was.
I think he was supposed to be like 15.
He's like got fucking 5 o'clock shadow. I never watched The Bubble Boy with Jake Gyllenhaal. No, was that good?
No, there's no reason to.
That's the kind
the
of movie
boy
I'll
in
go
the
to.
Plastic bubble.
I'll go
quite
to like.
Enough.
I'll go to Best Buy with Steven. I'm like, what you got there? And he's like, oh, Bubble Boy. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You buy the worst fucking movies. Like the last time we were there, I was like, cool, check it out. Babel came out. Children of Men. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get The Pick of Destiny. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah. You have like the worst fucking taste known to man.
That's hilarious.
Babel looks depressing, says Children of Men. I'm going to be cheered up with some Jack Black and Kyle Gass.
Oh, man. Last DVD I bought.
Would you buy The Pick of Fucking Destiny? I can understand wanting to rent it or something.
Yeah, I'd want
to
see it, but had he seen it before?
No. Buy a good film. Why are you buying that movie?
I can't, unless it's a movie I'm buying for my kids, they're going to watch. I usually won't buy something unseen. You know?
Yeah.
Right. If it's a TV series that I know I'm going to like, I'll buy it. Like, I had only seen, like, the first hour of Firefly.
Yeah, it was, like, back in the early days of DVD, like, the first year, I would literally blind buy everything. New shit came out.
Yep, same here.
That's why I own shit, like, The Sixth Day with Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's
why. The 13th Floor.
Yeah, that's why.
My brother has that.
Like, yeah, what the fuck? That's why, you know, I own, like, if you look at my collection,
hey, man,
like, why
Craig Bierko and Dennis Hayes were rocking that movie.
Yeah, I remember Gretchen Mol.
Like, that's why I have movies Gretchen like Mol. At First Sight with Val Kilmer and Mira Sorvino and...
What, who's in that? What movie was that?
Remember that movie with Val Kilmer where he's blind, but he has a...
Oh, my God, you don't own that. You do not own that.
Yes, we fucking own that on DVD.
At First Sight.
And it's so fucking romantic and sweet, Bill.
How many times have you watched it?
One time. It's one of those kind of blind buys. You watch it once, and you never watch it again. It takes up space. That's the kind of thing. No, hey, let's watch it First Sight again. I love that flick.
I have ones that I've bought and never watched.
Yeah.
I've done that.
That's what Steven has. Look at, I bet you he's never even watched The Pick of Fucking Destiny. Oh, it's still shrink wrap. It's like, you could have fed a little starving kid in Africa, you son of a bitch. You sensitive asshole. Kid is dying because of you.
I've got this guy who's emailing me, and after the end of every email, he says, knives and stabbing weapons.
That's so funny.
He's hooked.
Someone said something on your last show, the car chase one, about you got the car wrong in The Rock.
Yeah, but John called it a Lamborghini and a Hummer. When we were picking the car chases, we picked the ones that were, like, held up, you know, that people consider to be great car chases. And then said, and ones that we knew were good ones. But, you know, it's like people think that The Rock is a great car chase.
It's horrible. Because
they always talk about it. They're always like, yeah, have you seen the one from The Rock? And like, yeah, it's okay.
And I'd love
man, like when Sean Connery runs over those cars with his Hummer like it's a monster truck.
I love when you talked about how they show him in the car and how the camera zooms in on him and zooms back out. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck is Michael Bay doing?
What always cracked me up about that car chase scene is that there's a part where a telephone pole falls and then a car hits it and is like catapulted 20 feet into the air. like that telephone pole creates such an obstacle that the car is just flung into the air.
In the first Bad Boys, he does that too, where he does, it's a gunfight, and he does the camera zooms in and it zooms back out. Whoa! Yeah. He really loved that shit early on in his career, the zooming in and zooming out real fast.
Well, no, it's those ones like in the car, like I was talking about, that are so hilarious. I mean, it's on there for you know, 6-12 frames, just bam, you know, really quick.
Yeah,
it feels like they're creating some good movement, but he leaves that shit on there. Like I said, he gets a phone call and he's like, "Hello, how are you doing today?"
Yeah, fucking. You've got my Humvee. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
There's some really bad parts in that movie.
I'm sorry,
where
I got your Humvee.
Where they think it's funny, like. Sean Connery's pretending to take a shower, and he's like, flowers in your hair. You know, he's like, all across the nation. And it's supposed to be funny, but it's obvious that, like, hey, why is his voice carrying out onto the balcony as he's singing? Makes no sense. Why would you be singing and sneaking out when you could hear your voice traveling?
You should be fucking the prom queen.
Yeah, and then there's a stupid gay haircutter guy.
Oh, jeez.
Genius.
Was that guy that used to be on
Womack?
Chunk Funk.
Yeah, it was Jonathan. No, wasn't it that Anthony guy, that comedian that's on Yes Dear now, or
yeah,
was on Yes Dear?
Too bad that.
I remember he had a great show back on NBC called Boston Commons. That was always funny. That was a good sitcom.
I love the way Sean Connery said Womack in that movie.
Womack.
It's been so long.
I always thought it was Lomac, the way he said it. Lomac!
Yeah, it's Nomac in Blade 2, but Womac in The Rock. And one of the worst movies ever, a movie where I get angry is Armageddon, what we were talking about earlier.
Oh, God.
Because the slow-mo is so bad. My favorite part that I love making fun of in that is when now the military is taking over the operation. Now the guy, William Fichtner, has a gun. Fichtner, whatever his name is. But I love when Liv Tyler looks up and they show the military guys walk in the room. You remember the doors open up and they all walk out and then they do a little salute in slow motion. It's just like, are you fucking kidding me? Just have them walk in the room. Does it have to be slow-mo in them salute? It's so cheesy.
Any kind of movement has to be in slow-mo.
And the part when Liv Tyler's like, that is my father! It's like, somebody bitch slapped this girl. That movie is so bad.
It is.
But I love
it. It's like one of those movies where you watch it. It's definitely a guilty anything. Guilty pleasure, guilty just horrible movie. But it's like, especially the guns in spacing. Like when Steve Buscemi finds that gun turret thing.
Yeah.
He's like, whoa, this is so much fun. It's freaky. He's like, what the fuck are you doing with a gun in space?
Let's not even get into the Russian guy in the space station. But my favorite part is Will Patton, where he's like, what are you doing with a gun in space?
Yeah.
But the whole
Patton, done such horrible movies. You got The Postman. He was even in Roadhouse 2.
Ride, Postman! I love
you
Will
saw
Patton.
Roadhouse 2?
Yeah, I actually own the DVD.
Oh.
Well, you know what? I had to buy it just because I was like, why? I watched The Money Pit the other night when I was downstairs in the basement. It's like one of my favorite 80s guilty pleasure movies.
Well, I kind of feel bad because instead of Grindhouse, I went to see Are We Done Yet? And apparently I pushed it over the top and crushed Grindhouse. I saw Ice Cube on like Conan, and they showed a clip of that. And just the look on his face is just kind of like, "What the fuck am I doing with my career?" It's like, "Are you kidding?"
I got to hang out with him for a while.
Ice Cube,
way back in my rap days. Yeah.
Why would he make a film like that? It's because he has kids, right?
I don't know. I figure it's the cash. Well, you know what it is. A lot of times, too. He's very smart when it comes to getting what he wants done. I mean, the guy's directed a film and written a film,
right?
I mean, he's making money hand over fist, and I think that family market, I mean, he's just following Eddie Murphy into that.
Yeah, but it's so bad. It's not even a good family film. It looks horrendous. No. Horrendous.
But
and he was so good in something like Three Kings.
He wasn't bad in Three Kings.
I love Three Kings.
But maybe he wants to be a star.
You know what Three Kings was missing, though? Lily Tomlin.
You fucking bitch! I'm trying to help you, bitch! It'd be funny if
Lily Tomlin was the leader of the Iraqi village.
It'd be better if he did that to just any actor. It's like, I have some questions about my lines. Oh, well, it looks like I got to spend some time with you. It's not like I'm directing a movie here and I got other shit to do.
Okay, everybody, let's rehearse.
Did you hear Lily Tomlin's response to all that video? She was very cool about it. She said that, you know, this is what happens sometimes on a movie set. And you know, people forget that this is the second time she's worked with David O. Russell.
Right.
You know, yeah. She was on Flirting with Disaster, too. And Marky Mark came back after, you know, to I Heart Huckabees after he was with Three Kings. So I think what people make of it on the outside is different. See?
Yeah.
And the whole point is that should have never left the set.
The next day, you apologize about it.
You think it's like a relationship ender, and then you're like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that almost made me think, do you remember in Hearts of Darkness, Martin Sheen's all drunk, and he's like, fuck you, to Francis Ford Coppola, you motherfucker. And he's like all just wasted. You know, he just goes off on him, because basically a director, part of getting a performance out of you, he's kind of abusing you to get the performance.
Right.
Wasn't Francis Coppola saying stuff to him to motivate him, like, your life is shit and stuff? It's just like these horrible,
you suck, no one likes you.
And he was doing it when they were filming that, the scene at the very beginning where he's in that room and he punches the mirror and everything.
Yeah, the opening montage,
but he was totally hammered when they did that, though.
Apocalypse Now Redux was on HDNet Movies last night.
Nice.
I watched like the opening 30 minutes and then started falling asleep like I always do when I try to watch
it. You know, there was a period of time where I loved the shit out of that movie.
Well, you know what the point is that it's not really a plot movie. It's an environment movie.
Yeah.
It's a you get lost. Blade Runner is the exact same way. Try not to fall asleep in Blade Runner. Try not to fall asleep in Alien. Alien especially.
Well, that's the thing.
You know what? That's exactly how Sunshine is, but you're just so engrossed in the entire situation. Right. Like, there's this really understated score to it that you don't even realize is there, but it's totally influencing the way you're feeling.
Well, if you look at, like, the opening of Apocalypse Now, all the footage that he had, the Redux shows you how much footage he had, how masterfully that was edited, the finished product in theaters. Yeah. That thing was, I mean, just the opening montage showed you they took bits that almost you would go, oh, shit, we've got nothing, and they turned it into something with the Doors music and everything. Stuff like that I think is awesome. That's why I think I love the version I've seen. And then when you watch Redux, it's kind of cool to watch some of the things, but it's not definitely not the finished thing I want.
You know what? Even see, that's the deal. I think John and I talked about it on one of the shows. Like, you get used to your particular cut of the movie.
Right.
And then someone walks in with their highfalutin director's cut years later, you know, and you say to yourself, well, I'm used to this other thing. And I mean, think about the director's cut of Blade Runner when it came out, and they took out all that stuff in the end where they were going through the forest and whatnot, and they were it was like a hopeful ending. And it's like,
yeah, okay, when they're in the car.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, well, I understand the director's cut has got kind of a cliffhanger, what if he's a replicant idea to it. But at the same time, you're so used to the other thing,
you know,
that it's hard to get.
But also about the original version, I must be the only one that actually prefers the voiceover.
No, I like the voiceover.
I think the voiceover lends. I mean, people talk about how cold the read is, but that was how all those like detective noir films were. That cold read, like no inflection at all.
Have you guys?
I loved it, and I have the international cut, which is a little more violent. Like it shows Rutger Hauer's character. What's his name?
Roy.
Roy Batty.
Have you guys noticed?
He shows him drive the nail through his hand all the way.
Yeah,
right.
And all that. And there's also, it's so much better.
Like when he kills, what's his face, Terrell? Isn't that more?
Yeah.
That's more graphic.
Yeah, his eyes. He actually gouges his eyes out.
Yeah, but does he say father or does he say fucker?
Fucker, I want more life. Fucker.
But then there's
doesn't
sometimes.
Say fucker? I thought he said father in the.
Right.
I think I always thought he
cut.
Says fucker.
It differs. It differs between the cuts.
And there's a couple of weird cuts in that movie. When they first show Roy for the first time, they show his face from Terrell's room later on. And they also show his hand from later on in the movie before he drives the nail in it. Have you ever noticed that? They showed shots from two different other parts of the movie later in the movie in that early part.
Yeah.
Huh, that's interesting.
And there's also the weird-ass edit when Harrison Ford grabs the dude in the shop about the snake. Remember, he's questioning the guy? And it's like the dialogue.
Right, and the lip sync is off.
Yeah. I always thought that was weird.
Yeah, that is really weird. It's like, why the hell? And they didn't fix it in the director's cut either.
Yeah, I don't understand why they
wouldn't
do that.
And I'm like, why the hell? It's like, if you do a director's cut, why don't you fix it?
Yeah, Ridley Scott's like, what's wrong with it?
The director's cut is bullshit. I mean,
if they can overdub Die Hard 2 for television,
and you know what?
They can overdub.
I've always heard that because there's the part where he dreams of a unicorn, that means he's a replicant or he maybe.
I never got that period.
Other people have told me that.
You know what? If that's what that actually means, it's the sloppiest frigging way to, you know, show something. That I just hate that.
You know what? When I see that part of the movie, what I think is Ridley Scott's telling us, oh, I also did a movie called Legend. Okay, back to
that. Yeah, I know.
That's what it reminds me of.
That's what it looks like. It looks like a scene that was taken out of Legend and just thrown in there. Like, maybe, you know, he was dreaming of Tom Cruise and that was the end of the dream.
Must have been when he captured. His temple sure is scary, right? He was surrounded by space thugs. Hey, T, wake up. I think there may be a sacrifice soon. I don't have the heart for it.
What you doing?
Trying to escape. You know, we wouldn't have got caught if you wouldn't have lost your cool with that Chinese mind.
What this fool talking about now?
That's the ship, T. Yeah, you should have let me drive.
You can't drive, sucker.
Stop fighting, guys. We gotta escape and rescue Vanessa. Hey, where's the Eugene line? Man, this boat's tight. This space buggy chance is trying to drive me crazy.
Quiet, Meg. Sounds like we have company.
Welcome to the Space Temple of Doom.
Mulberry Bill?
You impetuous fools. Soon you will join me in serving my master, Uibul. Once you've had your thetans reprogrammed, you will become a mindless space thuggy and serve as an extra in Blood Rain 3, out for a bite.
Who, me?
Yes, you too, Mr. T. Madness! You were born without an Oscar. That is what's madness.
Are you crazy?
Welcome, my master. We caught these stowaways aboard the Action 3 news rocket.
Revenge trip?
They were trying to stop Carl Monday and BubbaBot so they could rescue Vanessa. Should I prepare the E-meter for Thetan reconstruction?
Absolutely.
First, we must torture them. At what level do you suggest, my master?
Really, really brutal stuff.
House of the Dead it is. Thuggies, prepare the DVD.
Hold it right there, you bull. Even if you do convert us into your mindless thuggy slaves, we know that Vanessa will defeat you because...
She's really tall, tough, is doing physically the wire work, she's doing all the action on her own.
Yes.
I think she was perfect.
Whose thetans should I reconfigure first, Master?
A mix.
Just escaped through a secret door.
Now what do you see? Are we gonna get down with our own bad self?
Got that right, crazy man.
Hold it right there. You are hopelessly surrounded. Join us or die.
Here, Mitt, burn him with this torch. The glass of his eyes is gone. Are you all right now?
Yeah, I think so. That burning torch must have destroyed the Thetan reconfiguration that Uibul was controlling me with. I know a way out. Hand me that thuggy blaster and follow me down this corridor. Step aside from that hatch door. Come on, quick, jump down this hatch.
I have no time for the jibber jabber.
My memory must have been tampered with. All I remember is going into Burger World with the rest of the crew. We must have been drugged by Beavis and Butthead because the last thing I remember is being brainwashed at a Uibul film festival. It was hell.
Oh, I think there's something in here with us.
Here, stand back. I'm gonna blast through this highly reflective laser-proof metal door and get us the hell out of here.
Take it easy.
Sorry, guys. I got carried away.
It's my problem. The agent must have escaped into a room with the main computer terminal. Reggie Bot, are you there?
Game over, man.
It's me, Credo.
Shut up, Credo.
Just to know I'm ready for you. I just want to know you are.
Thank God.
It's Darth Jonathan. Hello?
Look at all of you wonderful people.
Andy, have you ever seen the Jerry Goldsmith version or the heard that soundtrack to Legend?
Yeah, I have a little bit.
Yeah, I have that on my Ultimate Edition DVD.
Well,
yeah.
Do you wonder how the hell did Tangerine Dream get that job?
Well, I mean, they rejected the producers rejected the Goldsmith.
What do you think?
Tangerine
the Goldsmith
Dream came in there and did it like in 10 days or something, is what I heard.
That it's like there are parts of the movie that feel empty because they've got nothing musically.
Yeah. Yeah, no, is it, Bill, it's on that Ultimate Edition, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that edition. You should check that one out, Jason. It's got, because you can see the original cut.
Yeah, that's why I bought it. That's why I bought
it. It. We're about to do a show. We're about to do a show called The 11th Hour.
And nice.
It's going to be nothing but going and grabbing, talking about movies that were supposed to be one thing, and then someone had a change of heart at the very last minute, and it became something totally different.
Ah, okay. You know,
so gosh, man, there's so many movies like that.
One movie that I love, American History X, and that was the movie where the director rejected it. What do you guys know the story of that? What the deal was with that?
Yeah, he, Ed, what's his name, took it away.
Ed Norton took it off of him.
Yeah.
He didn't like the way it was going. And it's the same with the Payback, which I just got on DVD, on HD DVD.
Payback was the thing that made us come up with that episode.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I got it today from Netflix on HD DVD, and I'm really...
John says it's a totally different
They've made it more violent, and he's more of a nasty person. No one's redeemable. They completely cut out the kidnapping sub-story.
That feels way tacked on.
Yeah, the Kris Kristofferson shit is all gone.
Yeah.
Well, what about in American History X... An example of that, when somebody gets their film taken away from them, it's sad to say that maybe that was a good thing. I don't know.
Well, see, that's what's so funny is that you look at it and you see, I didn't know that was the story. And then I watched American History X and I'm like, well, yeah, I like it. It's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty.
It's a bummer ending, but.
It's one of those movies where at the end of it, you're like, holy shit, did I just see that?
Right.
Yeah, and Stacey Keach scares the hell out of me in this.
And poor Eddie Furlong. Last decent movie.
Look how big, what's his name is in the movie?
Edward Norton?
Randy's brother.
Oh, Ethan Suplee?
Randy.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Ethan
Suplee. He's like a house. Monster. Yeah. I was surprised. When I saw him in that movie, I was like, that guy's going to be dead within a year.
He lost a lot of weight.
Yeah,
by
he
the
did.
The time he got to the show. Did you see it last night?
No, I missed Earl last night. Oh.
No, I think I have it TiVo'd, but it's not great.
Well, it's not great, but it's. I'll let you watch it. It's
you know,
pretty silly.
You know, I'm reading on Wikipedia. The worst thing about this, the only thing they have about the controversy is this guy that was directing it, this Tony Kaye, he was so he's just being such a tool about the entire situation. Is that he wanted the studio to use Alan Smithy as the director, and then when they refused that, he wanted Humpty Dumpty to be used.
Oh God!
It was a guy just.
What
I think
an asshole.
Some people go insane dealing with studios. Literally, I mean,
the studios. Well, you know, another movie that's getting taken over right now is that one that we were talking about the other day, that the Beatles inspired music one. You saw a trailer of it.
Okay, man, you totally threw me off the Beatles thing, but...
was it called?
Oh, man, it's got the strawberry on the thing, it's got Evan Rachel Wood in it.
Across the Universe.
Yeah, that's
right.
It. I remember when The Abyss was, you know, they're spending so much money, there was, I remember Premiere Magazine had this big article on it, and it was, you know, will it sink or swim, and it was like, studios were like, we would have fired James Cameron off the film a long time ago, but who the hell could take this over?
Nobody. Only Brett Ratner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sadly, he wasn't ready yet.
Yeah,
it's he was busy shooting his college film with that midget kid.
It's like,
oh
I gotta.
God,
you know what's
horrible.
Funny is I was reading on the Futon Critic. They have a synopsis of new pilots, like new drama pilots and stuff, for each different network. And if as you read them, you can tell, like, just by reading about him, like, oh my god, what the fuck?
You know, I'm pissed that they never picked up The Catch, that Greg Grimberg show, but he wouldn't be on Heroes now. But I'd love to see the pilot of that.
But the reason I thought of Brett Ratner is he has a TV show that he's producing.
Oh, he needs one.
And listen, some of the directors of these, Tony Goldwyn is directing. You remember him, he's an actor.
Yeah.
Well, now he's a director.
Yeah, he's a director. But people like Spike Lee are directing pilots. Who else? Mike Figgis is directing pilots.
Well, you know why? Because it's like if you get your show, yep. And that's the paycheck.
That's major money.
Oh, Lassie Hallström.
I mean, just look at Ray Romano and that Kevin James, man. Once you hit 100 episodes, you're gold.
Oh, PJ Hogan.
Old Pony Boy.
You don't have to work another day in your life.
Do you remember, Eliza Dushku has a pilot she's making called Nurses.
That'll last about 3 episodes.
It's directed by PJ Hogan, the director of My Best Friend's Wedding.
Didn't he do...
Yikes.
Good Sorry. Lord, man.
Sorry.
Didn't he do the Peter Pan one, too?
I think so. But he's doing a TV show with
wasn't so bad,
Eliza Dushku for Fox.
No, I actually prefer that Pan version.
That wasn't bad. Pan. Jonathan Mostow is directing.
I thought that was pretty good.
Okay, Rachel Nichols is going to be in the show called Them. And it's by David Icke, the producer of BSG, directed by Jonathan Mostow. And it's about a... I thought this kind of sounded interesting, but it'll also be canceled within a week. It's about a splinter cell of terrorists, but they're alien terrorists.
You're not serious.
I'm dead serious.
Well, you know what? Anything with Rachel Nichols, I'll watch for, you know, a little while.
I just feel like any pilot that I see on Fox, I'm like, okay.
What was that show called that she did with Peter Coyote?
Oh, The Inside.
Oh, The Inside.
Did you guys know Peter Horton is now a TV director?
Good Lord. He directed a lot of 30-something, didn't he?
Okay, Bill, Life on Mars, made for US TV.
No. Please, no.
It's coming.
Wait.
They just finished the last episode. I just watched it, and it's like one of those episodes that like screws with your head. You don't know why or what just happened. But it was such... I mean, who made that show was the guy that plays... The Gov, I can't remember.
Do you want to...
Peter Glester or something?
They haven't cast any of the cast yet, so that's one good thing.
But
you know who's running
producing
it?
Producing the show,
yep.
Yeah.
David E. Kelly.
David E. Kelly.
You know what? I might not be completely, off on that.
My favorite
As long as they actually kind of use some of the people from the original series, I'd be happy.
They're
probably going to do like they did with The Office, though. Just make a new Americanized version of the same thing.
The worst one looks
I wonder if they're going to, follow the whole Life on Mars.
It's not about space, right? It's about somebody who wakes up in the 70s, right?
Right.
About a cop named Sam Tyler who's in an accident. He wakes up in 1973. I don't know. It's just so terrific because it's this guy from 2006 in 73, and he uses all this, modern ways of doing things, and the guys that he's with are just so,
right.
Starsky and Hutch.
Right.
And, like, he'll call them that, and they'll be like, who? Or, like, there was one part in the final episode where he repeats the RoboCop thing, the serve the public trust... Uphold the law, all that. And they're like, who said that? And he's like, RoboCop. They're like, what? there's comedy in it, but it's also deadly serious.
Yeah.
But the guy who plays his boss, this Philip Glenister, who plays Gene Hunt, he made the series. In fact, I think they're doing a spinoff with just him. But I really love the series. I'll have to copy it and send it to you.
Yeah, I would love to see it. It's one of the ones that I'm looking forward to for next year.
Yeah, it's not as much as like people think it's like a time travel sort of thing.
Yeah.
But like it's him trying to figure out if he's in a coma, did he actually go back in time, is he just crazy?
So it's better than the Silly Time one with Quantum Leap. It's better than Quantum Leap.
Oh, please, yeah.
I didn't like because it was so episodic, you know what I mean? It was so...
Yeah, this is an episodic. This is a guy who, you know, is just...
There's no time travel element, right.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah. I mean, there's a slight time travel element in that he runs into himself as a young child, his mother. Like, there's a whole dilemma where one episode he's trying to prove his father's innocence in a crime. In fact, I think that was the last episode of the first season. And, you know, he runs into people that he knows from his life in 2006, and that kind of makes you think, did he actually go back in time? You know, sort of thing. But, you know, that's as far as that goes. Most of it is he's actually in a coma. But, again, the last episode isn't one of those things that, like, is just so vague like Quantum Leap was.
Yeah. That was really vague.
Oh,
this one kind of gives you some answers and then lets you decide what you want to decide on it.
Now, listen to this. Yeah. Executive produced by Brett Ratner. Women's Murder Club with Angie Harmon.
Oh, boy. Angie Harmon?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Isn't Harold Perrineau a Michael from Lost?
Hey. Yes, he is.
Okay, so he's not coming back because he's on a new show.
No, him and Walter gone.
Now, listen to this. Harold Perrineau and Ron Eldard in Demons.
Two wash-ups.
It's called Demons. It's created by the lady who created Joan of Arcadia. And it's a drama about an ex-Jesuit priest and a psychologist who perform exorcisms. How long is this show going to stay on the air?
People will get offended with it like they did with that show that Bill liked for a while. What was the one that got canceled after like
Book of David.
Shows? Yeah,
Book of Daniel.
Book of Daniel, right.
I love that show.
This show, Law Dogs, with Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Oh, good play on the title there.
Yeah, it's got Zach Morris in it from Saved by the Bell. And it's a drama about the lives, relationships, and careers of a team of public defenders.
Terrific.
And it's created by Barry Schindel. Never heard of him, but executive producers Ridley and Tony Scott.
Ooh, so that means there will be a lot of like flashy directing.
Yeah, like numbers. Hey, we're making math interesting. I saw this little thing.
Every time I see numbers, I think of that kid in... Harold and Kumar with the kid from American Pie, and they're waiting for Katie Holmes' breasts.
Yeah.
And they're smoking this gigantic bong out of a chauffeur. Yeah. She was chauffeur.
And you know what? Yeah. I love the menu screens to Harold.
Yeah.
They're hilarious.
They are funny.
Because, Andy, they're just like waiting for you to hit buttons like, dude, why the hell isn't he hitting play? What the hell is this guy doing? And they're just kind of like, okay, man. You know,
I heard they are making a sequel to that, though.
I think it's Harold and Kumar. It was Go to Amsterdam, but now it's Go to the South or something.
Huh.
Did you ever see Beer Fest, Andy?
I didn't. John put it on his top list of the year.
I saw that. I thought that was funny.
I was like, what?
It's a lot of fun.
The Super Troopers was funny. I saw, you know, and so think about it in that vein.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with a really good turn off your mind.
Super Troopers, I love that movie. I can watch it anytime it's on from any point in the movie.
Yeah.
But
I'm thinking about buying Beer Fest because Warner Brothers home video site is you can get like 30% off of all HD DVDs. So it's on there, so I think I might pick it up. I haven't seen it yet.
The movies.
So you don't just buy special things on HD, you buy everything on HD?
No, I buy what I don't own on DVD. Like, if I don't own Beer Fest, which I don't, I can buy it for $15, I'll pick it up. But, you know, I mainly only buy stuff whenever I can get an incredible deal.
No, but I mean, when do you decide to buy an HD disc?
When I know I'll watch it more than once.
Right. Or when it's like a heavy effects laden type of a thing, maybe?
No, even that I don't do.
I've already seen there's movies that I love that I would have to get. Like, I've talked to Bill about this.
I just bought, on the last three things I bought were all HD DVDs, and that was Happy Feet, because it's incredible in high def. and the sound, the true HD on the HD DVD just kicks ass. Children of Men, because it was arguably one of the best films last year.
I can see how they deserve it.
Yeah, and what else did I get? I got one more thing, I can't remember. But I'll only buy them from, like, Amazon because they take 10% off your order.
Right.
Yeah, I would have to get stuff like Darkman. I'd have to get stuff like Road Warrior.
Yeah, see, there's certain movies.
I just pre-ordered from the Warner Brothers site the Ultimate Matrix Trilogy. Planet Earth is coming out on HD.
Oh, yeah, that would be so sweet to have.
And the Road Warrior, which is coming out on HD.
I've been watching that Planet Earth.
That's
on,
cool.
Regular TV, and it's
the photography is amazing in that.
Oh man, you got to see it in HD. It's like mind-numbingly gorgeous.
You know,
I
what?
Just got totally puked on.
Oh no! They showed Beyond Thunderdome last weekend, Bill.
What?
They showed Beyond Thunderdome, and I watched that in HD.
Oh good lord!
I can still sit through that. You know what? There are some things where I'm still like, what the hell were they thinking? But I can still sit through that. There's parts where it's so wince-inducing, like when they're all sliding down the slide going, whoa! And they Maurice Jarre music is that...
Oh, gosh.
It's like, what the hell happened to the movie?
You know what? I want to see George Miller do Mad Max meets Babe picking the city.
And what I always wondered forever, like, you know, George Miller had a co-director, George Ogilvy.
Right.
Whatever happened to that dude after that flick?
We've got no jobs for you.
We will rebuild.
He probably threw him off the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Who'll run?
Like, that scene was your idea.
With the thing, they get that little midget dude, and he's like the worst actor. It's like the only midget in Australia, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, the part where Blaster, and he's like, no, yeah. He's just a child. It's like, get this midget some acting lessons.
This, like, you know what I always think of when I see that scene? For some odd reason, I think of The Neverending Story. I just think, like, it should be in The Neverending Story.
That's a classic. Oh,
well,
man.
Raggedy Man, ain't we a pair? And I still don't understand what the hell happened at the end. They go and they live in a city and they're waiting for Max to show up, so they light candles or something.
I like the little air kid, you know? The little son to the helicopter pilot.
Yeah.
And when they first pull up and he stops, this is a robbery!
And he goes, this is a stick-up! And I love the part where he goes, he tells his dad, Dad, they're coming. And he's like, okay, son. He goes, I warned you, Dad. And he takes off.
Yeah.
And you hear son starting the plane. His son's going to take off without him. But that movie has so many problems. I really
love that part with Dennis Hopper on the jet ski. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry.
I still don't understand why. Okay, I understand the whole place runs on methane and pig shit. But why do they have a truck on train tracks that lead to nowhere underneath the city?
Yeah.
Because that's how they haul in the pig shit.
I mean, and plus it's connected to pipes to the rest of the city, so that truck's there for no reason.
Yeah, that is interesting. I never thought about that.
They need to ask the writer, like, why did you do this?
We will rebuild!
Very end, and the guy's still coming after the guy.
Pig killer! Oh, I love Iron Bar. That was his name. There's the stunt where he's hanging off the truck and he's lifted
that's
up his
badass.
Leg. That's an awesome stunt.
That is totally.
And
badass.
That's when you get to that part of the movie, it's like, couldn't we have had more of this than the kid shit? What the hell's with the kids? And the kids going, Mrs. Walker, Tomorrow Mara Land.
A Pocky Clips.
And I love how Max is like, we're all going to stay here and we're going to be thankful. He's like, I've had enough of this desert shit. I'm staying here.
What I never understood is why they, why Tina Turner? What were those huge things on her ears? And why we don't need another hero?
That's another thing. When I heard that she was in the movie, I was like, you know, you're reading about it. Like, first of all, I fucking worship Mad Max and The Road Warrior, or Mad Max 2 if you're not from this country. But when I'm reading stuff about the making of it and they've cast Tina Turner, I'm like, okay, why? Because none of the characters other than Mel Gibson really matter. in the Road Warrior or Mad Max. It's just kind of like they're...
Hey, what about the feral kids?
They're just villains, right? You know what I'm saying? They're not... They don't need to be big stars because no one needs to call... This is like a comic book movie, but all of a sudden she's in this. And then when the movie opens and it starts with a Tina Turner song, you're like, what? Who? She fucking hijacked the movie. It's like when Batman's coming out. Oh, awesome. Prince is doing some songs for it. Why?
That made no sense. That made no sense
at least
sense
it was... At least she made her own song for it instead of Private Dancer.
Hey, Ducky, stick a 7-inch in the computer. What the hell does that mean?
Ducky.
Bat dance.
That's what was so funny. Remember they played that video up as promotion for the movie.
Keep
and it wasn't in the movie. It was like maybe in the final credits or something.
I remember Peter Goober, I think he was talking about that Prince would not leave him alone about being Batman. He's like, I'm your Batman. I'm going to be Batman. Oh. I've wanted all my life to be Batman. He's like, oh, how about some music instead? So he did. He like wouldn't leave him the hell alone. So he threw him the bone of doing music. Because they remember he put out a whole album inspired by the movie.
Yeah.
And it has nothing. I don't understand what. And the part where Jack Nicholson and they're spray painting the museum to the Prince music. I'm like, what the fuck happened here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The worst part about Batman, when you rewatch Batman, Tim Burton's Batman, is that the scenes are so stale and boring.
Yeah, they really are.
It's so stilted. The whole film, like the scenes, Jerry Hall, first of all, as bad an actress as the fucking midget from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Hey, I'm beautiful.
You were going to show. I do love Jack's delivery. She goes, you were going to show me the paintings. He goes, ooh, I'm in trouble now.
Yeah.
But Jerry Hall's horrible in that. And I guess she's famous for taking half of Mick Jagger's money or something. I don't know.
Yes. You're exactly right.
I was just. They had this article. I don't even know where it is, but it's the top divorces and the money. I think Linda Hamilton made the most money from a divorce than anybody. She was married for James Cameron for 1 year. And remember, he was unfaithful to her. Mm-hmm. He was banging that chick from Titanic.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Linda Hamilton made $50 million.
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Linda Hamilton made $50 million.
You don't sign a prenup. You just don't.
Right. But see, she was married to him for 1 year and made $50 million. So
that's easy money, man.
And I think even
never made that much working.
The thing with Mick Jagger and Jerry Hall, they had that in there. He married her in Bali. So he had the marriage annulled. Like, hey, Bali, I don't understand this shit. It's not a real wedding.
They were speaking Balinese.
So he got away with only giving her $25 million. So
they're speaking in that crazy clicking language.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand.
Okay. Eddie, what are you doing for me, Eddie? I want half your money.
Didn't John Peters produce Batman? The guy that
John Peters, Peter Goober.
Okay.
Peter Goober.
Oh, I always Doc. When I piss, flames shoot out my dick.
Yeah. What does it mean, Doc? When fire shoot out my dick?
And he goes, "Well, you mean like a burning sensation? No actual
fire.
Flames shooting out my dick." I always love that.
I wish he would go back to doing stand up. Like do another one of those theatrical stand up films.
I don't think he's got it in him though. I think because they were talking to him about it on
Sunday morning thing.
No, not Sunday morning shootout. The one
the Iconoclast.
The guy who talks like the Actor Studio.
Oh, Actor Studio.
I don't know that he has it in him.
The James Lipton.
You know,
he's creatively spent. Yeah, he's a family
man.
Yeah,
now he wants an Oscar for nothing.
That's the thing.
Didn't you see me play James Brown in that movie? That was terrific.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think
it's getting hot in hot tub.
When you hear enough of someone telling you you're gonna win, I guess he started to believe it.
Make me sweat. Ow!
It's your year, Eddie. Best. I think he should have been for Bowfinger. Genius.
I think he should do a Buttwheat movie.
I'm a frequent renter at Blockbuster.
Buttwheat Sing.
Didn't you guys think he was genius in Bowfinger as the nerdy brother?
He was. That was just a genius movie
Jesus,
in general.
Oh, Jesus, Lord Jesus.
I remember we went to see that in the theater, and the fake person ninjas part, the movie went to shit. It, like, it was off frame and you couldn't see anything that was going on. And people were like going nuts in the theater. And I remember a guy getting up on the chairs and he was banging on the projector's glass like, hey, hey, hey. It was like that whole punchline at the end of that movie you had to wait for video to see.
What was that? What was that Scientology thing that Terrence Stamp was in?
Oh, it was Welcome to Mindhead.
Mindhead.
And there's even one part where Steve Martin goes, mind fuck. I mean, excuse me, mind head. He was about to call it mind fuck.
That was a total slam.
It was great.
You should grab some clips from that.
And they show all the people in posters. They have like these triangle. It almost looks like the sailor hats and paper on their head. They're special. Wife's called me twice for dinner, so
it's been
in trouble now.
All right, man.
This town needs an enema.
Knives and stabbing weapons.